Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now, 11 minutes past 10. And first up this morning, alhamdulillah, it's Monday Morning Focus, the ideal Muslim mighties. And this morning we focus on a Muslim woman being wise and eloquent in her dawah. That is her calling others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. That will be followed by Socially Speaking. And this morning, unfortunately, Mawlana Muhammad Venker is not available. He's out of the country. But inshallah, maybe next week or the week after that, we will have him back with us again. But today, we're going to be looking at improving your mental focus. And, you know, in today's always connected world, mental focus, in this time, diversions are nothing more than a click away. Even during quiet moments, distractions are literally at your fingertips. And I think we all are aware of this, you know, how quickly we can be distracted from the job that we are supposed to be doing at that moment. It's just a finger away, you know, just a click away for us to do those things, inshallah. And inshallah, if we do have time, I'd like to just end today's program with a thought for the day. It's all about Salah. That's called the lifeline. So if we do have time, we will share that thought with you at the end of the program. But for now, back to Monday Morning Focus, the ideal Muslimah. And we're looking at the Muslim woman as a da'iyah, as a person to call, you know, others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Okay, the Muslim woman who seeks to call others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eloquent and is also clever in her dawah. She speaks wisely and without being pushy to those whom she calls, and taking into account their intellectual levels and their social positions. I think this is very important. Sometimes you go to, you have to give a talk to people, but it's also important to do a little bit of homework and to see what kind of people you'll be talking to, what level of people you'll be talking to, what social position the people are, are in. Sometimes you're talking to people that are not so, in clue with everything that's happening around them. So you need to make sure that the people that you are going to be talking to are, you're going to talk to them at their level, alhamdulillah. With this wise and good preaching, she's able to reach their hearts and their minds, just as the Quran advises. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in chapter 16, verse 125. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, invite all to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching. So that is so important. You know, you can't just go out there and start preaching and expecting people to understand what you are saying and do it in a harsh way. And that way, unfortunately, people will be pushed away from the deen instead of, accepting, understanding and accepting and learning from what you are sharing with them. The sister who is calling others is careful not to be too long-winded or boring, and also she avoids her overburdening her audience. So yeah, very important for us to remember. This is also not only for women, I think even men for that matter, when they do give their bayans, to make sure that it's not overburdening, it's not a long boring talk that you are giving that will instead push people away from you. She does not speak for too long or discusses matters that are difficult to understand. She introduces the idea that she wants to convey in a very brief and clear fashion. So you need to be very simple sometimes. Use the language that people will understand. You do unfortunately sometimes find people that use such high language, and it makes it so difficult for the people out there to understand what you are actually saying. Basically, you need to come down to the level of your people. Very important. And talk to them the way they would understand, inshallah. Also, she introduces the idea that she wants to convey in a brief and clear fashion. Very clear. You need to be, brief and very clear. Don't talk in riddles. People don't have the time to fathom or try to find and realize and try and understand what is this person trying to say. So you need to be very brief and very clear, using attractive and interesting methods. You should go out of your way to make it, to try and attract the people that are there, with ways wherein they will be interested all the time. And presenting the information in stages, again, very important. Do it in stages so that her audience will understand it easily and will be able to, will be eager to put their new knowledge into practice. And I think this is the test for a person giving a talk, that the people sitting out there listening to you, even if they don't remember every word that you have said, but they basically understand the crux of the information that was shared with you. And in so doing, they are able to, put into practice the knowledge that they have gained. Alhamdulillah. And this is what our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in his own preaching. A great Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, tells us about it. He said, that is Ibn Masud, he said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to preach a little at a time to the people he used to do it. Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu used to do it. He used to preach a little at a time to the people every Thursday. So he used to just take, just have a little talk every Thursday. And then somebody actually asked him, I wish you would teach us every day. And his reply to him was, what prevents me from doing so is the fact that I would hate to bore you. Another very important point, that, if you are inviting people to the deen, that you should do it briefly, like we said earlier, clearly, and not bore the people out there. He says, I show considerations towards you by choosing a suitable time to teach you, just as the Prophet ﷺ used to do with us, for fear of making us bored. So even our beloved Prophet ﷺ used to do that. Talk a little bit, but make once in a while, like this man said, Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu said, the Sahabi said, that he used to just do it on a Thursday for that matter, just for a little while, and he wouldn't overdo it. He wouldn't do it every day, although some of the people wanted him to do it every day. Now, one of the most important qualities of the wise and the eloquent Daiya is that she's gentle with the woman she's calling. Again, you need to be very gentle when you're talking to them. She's patient with the slowness or the inability to understand on the part of some of them. Now, we need to take into consideration this very important fact, that there may be some people out there in the audience that are not, as intelligent as the rest, that could pick up immediately. When you say something, they pick it up immediately. There are those that are a little bit slow in understanding, and we need to take that into consideration. Their ignorance of many matters of religion, their repeated mistakes, and there are many tedious questions. So as a person that is giving a talk for that matter, or perhaps just being a teacher trying to teach something to your audience out there, you need to take all these points into consideration, that the person, there may be some people that will not be able to pick up immediately, that would need a little bit more understanding, a little bit more explanation as to what you are talking about. There may be those that will repeatedly make mistakes, and there may be those that will ask many, many questions, and you as the speaker or the person inviting people to the deen, should actually have the patience to deal with it. And we should be following the example of our beloved, the master of all those men and women who call others to the way of Allah, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the supreme example of patience, kindness, and open-heartedness. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our example to follow. He responded to questions like a tolerant, caring guide and gently correcting teacher, never frustrated by their slowness to understand or irritated by their many questions and the need to repent, or rather repeat the same answers many times until they understood and left him, content with the lesson that they learned. So that is, you know, when you do go out there to teach people, to call people to the Deen of Islam, then we need to remember that no matter how long it takes for a person to understand, you need to have the patience and the kindness and the open-heartedness to be able to deal with it. You can't go out there and get irritated if somebody keeps on asking you questions with regards what you may have said. So, and you can never think that what's wrong with this person, you know. Doesn't he understand when I talk once? No way. You have to take, you know, go out there and make sure that the person, you have to have the patience and understanding, and you know, make sure that when you leave that that gathering for that matter, that everybody's answers are, you know, questions are answered, and if there's anybody that don't understand, you should not be irritated or get angry about them not understanding. You should go out there and make sure that they understand. Now, an example of this gentle approach is the account of another Sahabi by the name of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, rahmatullah alayhi, who said he was praying with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one man in the congregation sneezed, and he said, Yarhamukullah, you know, he answered, and he said, Yarhamukullah, may Allah have mercy on you. So the people actually got angry at him, and they glared at him, and they said, you know, they were quite angry with him. And when he wondered, now, what are you staring at me like that for? They even began striking their thighs with their hands. And when he realized that they were telling him to be quiet, he obviously fell silent. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, may his mother and father be sacrificed for him, finished the prayer. And he says he had never seen a better teacher than our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before or since. By Allah, he says, he did not rebuke me or strike me or insult me. He merely said, this is what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now, this prayer should contain nothing of the everyday speech of men. It is just tasbih, takbir, and recitation of the Quran, or words to that effect. This is how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, or you know, tried to correct him. So in other words, when somebody is sneezing, you don't reply while you are performing salah. You don't reply to the sneeze, because prayer, in your prayer, in your namaz, all you need to do is to read the tasbih, the takbir, and recitation of the Quran. So it is important for our listeners to remember that too. Says, O Messenger of Allah, I am still very close to the time of Jahiliyyah. That is, I am very new in Islam. So he asked him a few other questions too. And he says, Allah Ta'ala has brought us to Islam, yet there are some among us who still go to soothsayers. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied by saying, never go to them. And he said, okay. And there are also some who are superstitious. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied by saying, that is just something that they imagine. It should not stop them from going ahead with their plan. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had such a beautiful way of, you know, telling people what, you know, when they are doing wrong, to correct them. He had a nice way of doing it, a beautiful way, a patient way, and, you know, he wouldn't make the person feel bad in any way. Well, another characteristic of the successful da'iyah, and one of the most attractive and influential methods that she can use, is that she does not directly confront wrongdoers with their deeds. Now, many a times when we see somebody doing wrong, we just immediately run there and want to, you know, immediately confront them, but we need to be careful. So this is one of the ways that one should not, you know, you don't go directly to the person and you go and correct them. Or those who are failing with their shortcomings, so they're wrongdoers or they are failing with their shortcomings. Don't just directly go and confront the person. Rather, she, a Muslim woman, is supposed to be gentle in her approach when she addresses them, hinting at their wrongdoing or shortcomings indirectly, rather than stating them bluntly and asking them gently and wisely to rid themselves of whatever bad deeds or whatever failings they have. So indirectly, we should try and correct the mistakes of others. You can get into a lot of problems if you just probably directly go and you tell somebody what you are doing is wrong. So you need to be careful. Firstly, you need not hurt another person's feelings. So that is, I think, one of the most important things that we should always remember, is that if you just directly go to a person and you start lecturing them and telling them that what you are doing is wrong, may hurt the person's feelings, because that person may not know that what they are doing is wrong. So we need to do it very gently and generally come up with this. So just make sure that you don't just go there and start telling the person what you are doing is wrong. So she is careful, number one, not to hurt their feelings or put them off for dawah. Also a very important point, that you may put them off completely, and that is definitely not what we want. This wise, gentle approach is more effective in treating social ills and moral and psychological complaints, and it is a method followed by none other than our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu said this with regards to this. She says, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that someone had done something wrong, he did not say, what is wrong with so and so, and that he says such and such. Rather, he would say, what is wrong with some people that they say such and such. So he would generalize the whole thing so that people, a certain person, would not feel bad. Now, another important feature of the da'iyah is that she will guarantee her success, guarantee her success is that she speaks clearly to her audience and repeats her words without boring them until she is certain that they have understood and that her words have reached their hearts. This is what our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, and this is reported by Anas radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to repeat things three times when he spoke, so that they would, understand, or they would understand what our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And when he came to a people, he would greet them with salam three times. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu said that the speech of the Prophet was very clear. Everyone who heard it understood it. So that's how important it is for a person that is calling others to Allah should behave towards other people. In any case, I'd just like to briefly recap and tell you what we've done today. When calling others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should do it very eloquently and intelligently. Now, this is both for men and women, although I'm speaking to our sisters mostly, but men as well can take it. We should speak wisely without being pushy, always taking into account intellectual levels and social positions. Your talk should not be too long and too boring and overburdening. It should be brief and clear and using attractive and interesting methods. That is when you are presenting your information, of course, should be also presented in stages to make it easy to understand and to put knowledge into practice. So if it's put into stages, people can understand easier, and inshallah, when people understand, this knowledge then can be put into practice. One should also not bore the audience. Example, just have a talk maybe once a month or once a week, instead of doing it every day. That can, of course, sometimes bore people, and they can get this not interested in listening to it all the time. Then a very important some of the important qualities of a da'iyah is that she should be wise, she should be eloquent and gentle with the women she is calling. She should be patient with those that have difficulty understanding, who sometimes repeatedly make mistakes, and for the many questions that they ask. One should also continuously or repeatedly give the same answers, that is, with regards to the topic you are covering. You should continuously, give the answers to people that are listening and not feel bad or feel irritated or angry that I'm getting, or even sometimes frustrated that, you know, this person just don't seem to understand. Why do they keep on asking the same question? Sometimes we're just human and we may sometimes get irritated and frustrated, but if you are calling someone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these are qualities that you should not have in you. And then, being frustrated and angry or irritated, we're talking about. And then another quality is not to directly confront wrongdoers, to be gentle in your approach or to use the hinting method, just to make sure that the person understands. So you don't particularly target one person, you hint indirectly so that people around you can understand, so as not to hurt their feelings or put them off. And this wise, gentle approach is more effective in treating social ills and morals and psychological complaints, and it's a method that was followed by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, I hope this will benefit our listeners out there. When we return, inshallah, we're going to be talking about trying to improve our mental focus. Now, in today's always connected world, diversions are nothing more than a click away, and don't we all know it? Even during quiet moments, distractions are literally at your fingertips. So I'd like to just share with you some ways to improve your mental focus, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zina. And like I mentioned earlier in the program, Mulana Venka is not available today. He's out of the country. But inshallah, I will be doing a program with you. So I'll be sharing some time with you today, inshallah, and hopefully sharing some very vital information with you. It's with regards to improving your mental focus. Now, this is something that, many of us do suffer from. I know I'm one of them. I can get distracted so easily. If you're busy doing some kind of research and you see something else on the screen and you end up, totally away from what you are doing, and that actually is not good. We waste so much of time when we do these things, when we get distracted so easily. And of course, there's many other things that can distract you, but I'm going to share with you just a few of the things that you can do to just try and improve your mental focus. I think it's important for everybody out there, for us just normal people sitting and doing something, and also for students, especially children at school, to keep that focus. It's sometimes very, very difficult, I assure you. But they say staying on the task can be difficult, but it can be particularly challenging when you are surrounded by constant distraction. And sometimes many of us are. You're sitting in an office where there's so many people sitting around you, and instead of concentrating on your work, you're worried about what the next person is saying, and you just hear something and your concentration is gone. You're more interested in what the person is saying on the other side. In today's always connected world, diversions are nothing more than a click away. Yes, that is so true. Even during quiet moments, distraction is literally at your fingertips as you find yourself checking, your Facebook messages or catching up with one or other message or the other on social media. So before you know it, instead of what you are supposed to be doing, you are looking at all your messages and everything else that's happening out in the world. Fortunately, focus is a lot like a mental muscle. The more you work on building it up, the stronger it gets. But it is obviously up to you. Now, why is it so important to focus? Why is it so important for us to be able to focus? Why is it so important? Now, they say the ability to concentrate on something in your environment and direct mental effort toward it, it's critical for learning new things, achieving goals and performing well across a wide variety of situations. So basically, it's important for us to be able to focus all the time, whatever we are doing. If you're doing a program for us, like for example now, we need to focus. And we can also sometimes get distracted very easily. Although we are doing a program on something here, we can actually get distracted. So it's important for us to stay focused all the time. Now, whether we or you are trying to finish a report at work, or for example, if you're competing in a marathon, your ability to focus can mean the difference between success and failure. Another example is trying to complete an assignment that has to be handed in at a certain time. You can actually get distracted while doing all your research, and this can then cause you to, complete it in a hurry. You may complete it, but you're going to complete it in a hurry, and you're going to leave out most of the important facts and information that you wanted to get in to your assignment, just so that you can get it in on time, or you can even sometimes fail to send it in time. So improving your mental focus is achievable, but that does not mean that it is necessarily quick and easy. Again, nothing is easy to do. You need to concentrate. You need to put effort into whatever you are doing. If it was simple, then we would all have the razor-sharp concentration of an elite athlete. It'll take some real effort on your part, and you may have to make some major changes to some of your daily habits. You have to, whether we like it or not. If you want to do something, you have to make a few changes. Many of us don't like change, but unfortunately, that's the only way that you will achieve your target. Now, I'm going to share with you some tips and tricks that can, inshallah, help you develop laser-like mental focus and concentration, inshallah. Now, actually, just about 7 points that I want to share with you. This is from information that I had got from the internet, and I hope it will assist us all. I think we're all in need of that, because many of us lose focus so easily. We'll take a short break, and then we will go through all those tips and tricks, inshallah. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and today we're talking about improving your mental focus. And now I'm going to be sharing with you just a few points or tips or tricks, whatever you may call them, inshallah, just for us to be able to focus and concentrate. Now, before you start working toward improving your mental focus, you might just want to begin by assessing just how strong your mental focus is at the present moment. So you first need to know how strong it is, right? Firstly, there's a few statements that will best describe you. Number one is, I find myself daydreaming often when I need to be working on an important task. I find it difficult to tune out distractions. I often lose track of what I was working on and have to start over again. I tend to focus on difficult tasks during times of the day when I know I will be, the most alert. I like to set goals and break tasks up into more manageable segments. And if I find my mind wandering, I take a short break and then come right back to what I was working on. So you assess yourself with these important points, right? Now, if you identify more with the first three statements, I'll just go through them again, is I find myself daydreaming often when I need to be working on an important task. I find it difficult to tune out of distractions, and I often lose track of what I was working on and have to start all over again. Those are those three, statements. Then you probably need to work on your mental focus quite a bit. If the second set of statements seems more your style, then you probably already have fairly good concentration skills, but you could be even more stronger with a little practice. So the first three were those, and just quickly go through the next ones. And this would say that you have some kind of concentration. It's actually good. When you say, I tend to focus on difficult tasks during times of the day when I know I will be most alert. I like to set goals and break tasks up into more manageable segments. And if I find my mind wandering, I take a short break and then come right back to what I was doing. So that means you are on the right track. You do have fairly good concentration skills, but you can improve even more. Then the second point is to eliminate distractions. You need to admit it that you see this coming. While it may sound obvious, people often underestimate just how many distractions prevent them from concentrating on the task at hand. And such intrusions might come in the form of radio blaring in the background. Many people cannot even work without sound in the background. So, or perhaps an obnoxious co-worker who constantly drops by your cubicle to chat. It does happen. So minimizing these sources of distraction often sounds easier than it really is. While it might be as simple as turning off the television or the radio, you actually may find it much more challenging to deal with an interrupting coworker, you know, your spouse that's continuously asking you for something or the other, a little child running around crying, needing your attention or any, you know, all the time and any time. Or perhaps even if you are a student, perhaps your roommate may also be a distraction. So one way to deal with this is to actually set aside a specific time and a place and request to be left alone for a period of time. Another alternative is to actually seek out a calm location where you know you will be able to work undisturbed. For example, maybe the library, a private room in your house, or even a quiet coffee shop might all be a good spot to try. So it's important when you want to do and finish a task is to get, make that time. Make sure that there's no distraction when you are going to be, when you start with your work. And one way to deal with this, another important thing to remember is that not all distractions are external. I think this is important too. Environmental noises and interruptions are, well, obviously easier to control than those internal distractions that might make it difficult to focus on your attention. And what are these internal ones? Perhaps exhaustion, if you're very tired, if you have a lot of worry and anxiety, poor motivation, and other, of course, internal disturbances can be particularly difficult to avoid. Now, a few strategies you might want to try to minimize or eliminate such internal distractions are to make sure you are well rested prior to the task and to use positive thoughts and imagery to fight off anxiety and worry. If you find your mind wandering towards distracting thoughts, consciously bring your focus back to the task at hand. So, that can be, a real cause of concern, those internal distractions, distractions, simply because they come up while you are working and, if you are worried about something or whatever the case may be, but you need to, the minute that happens, you need to stop and refocus. I think that is important for you to remember. Then you need to also then learn to focus on one thing at a time. While multitasking sometimes seems like a great way to get a lot of things done very quickly, it can also turn out that people are actually rather bad at it. Now, sometimes we think we're good at, multitasking. Women are great at this. But it can actually be bad for us sometimes. Juggling multiple tasks at once can dramatically cut down on productivity and makes it much harder to hone in on the details that are actually truly important. And why is this? Because our attentional resources are limited, so it is important to budget them wisely. Now, think of your attention as a spotlight. just an example. Think of it as a spotlight. If you shine that spotlight on one particular area, you can see things very clearly. But if you try to spread that same amount of light across a large dark room, you might instead only glimpse the shadowy outlines. So that's, you know, how you should think of it. Part of improving your mental focus is all about making the most of the resources that you have available. So stop multitasking and instead give your full attention to one thing at a time. The fourth point is to live in the moment. It's tough to stay mentally focused when you are ruminating about the past, worrying about the future, or tuned out of the present moment for some other person. You have probably heard people talk about the importance of being present. Being present. It's all about putting away distractions, whether they are physical, that is your, for example, those phones that we have in our hands all the time, or if it's psychological, maybe your anxieties that you have, and being fully mentally engaged in the current moment. This notion of being present is also essential for recapturing your mental focus. Staying engaged in the here and the now. Now keeps your attention sharp and your mental resources honed in on the details that really matter at a specific point in time. It may take some time, but you know, you need to work on learning to truly live in the moment. You cannot change the past and the future has not happened yet. But what you do today can help you avoid repeating past mistakes and pave a path for a more successful future, inshallah. Then, let's see, the next point is, you need to practice mindfulness. Now, what is it? Mindfulness is a hot topic right now and for good reason. Despite the fact that people have practiced forms of mindfulness meditation for thousands of years, its many health benefits are only recently starting to be understood, actually. In fact, in one study, researchers and human resources professionals engage in simulations of the sort of complex multitasking they engage in each day at work. These tasks has to be completed in, say, 20 minutes and included answering phones, scheduling meetings and writing memos with sources of information pouring in from, you know, many sources, including by phone calls, emails and text messages. And some of the participants received 8 weeks of training in the use of mindfulness meditation. And the results found that only those who had received this training showed improvement in concentration and focus. And they say members of the meditation group were also able to stay on task longer, switched between, tasks less frequently and performed the work more efficiently than the other groups of participants. Now, practicing mindfulness can involve learning how to meditate, but it can also be as simple as trying a quick and an easy deep breathing exercise. To accomplish this, you need to start by taking several deep breaths while really focusing on each and every breath. When you feel your mind naturally begin to wander, gently and uncritically guide your focus back to your deep breathing. Deep breathing plays a very important role. Now, while this might seem like a deceptively simple task, you may find that it is actually much more difficult than it appears. Fortunately, this breathing activity is something you can do anywhere and anytime. Eventually, you will probably find that it becomes easier to disengage from intrusive thoughts, and you can also return your focus to where it actually belongs. And then the sixth point, I've only got 2 points to share with you still, is try taking a short break. You know, we sometimes don't understand the importance of this, but we need to take the short break. Have you ever tried to focus on the same thing for a long period of time? Well, after a while, your focus starts to break down And of course, it becomes more and more difficult to devote your mental resources to that particular task. Not only that, but your performance ultimately suffers as a result. Traditional explanations in psychology have suggested that this is due to attentional resources being depleted, but some researchers believe that it has more to do with the brain's tendency to ignore sources of constant stimulation. So what is the solution? Basically, researchers have found that even taking very brief breaks by shifting your attention elsewhere can actually or dramatically improve mental focus. So the next time you are working on a prolonged task, such as preparing your taxes, for example, or studying for an exam, be sure to give yourself an occasional mental break. Shift your attention to something unrelated to the task at hand, even if it is only for a few moments. These short moments of respite might mean that you are able to keep your mental focus sharp and your performance high when you really need it. And finally, you should keep practicing to strengthen your focus. I think nothing is more important than practicing. You know, whatever we do in life, we need to do it over and over so that it becomes a habit. Building your mental focus is not something that will happen overnight. Even professional athletes require plenty of time and practice in order to strengthen their concentration skills. One of the first steps is to recognize the impact that being distracted is having on your life. If you are struggling to accomplish your goals and you find yourself getting sidetracked by unimportant details, well, it is time for you to start placing a higher value on your time by building your mental focus. And inshallah, you will find that you will be able to accomplish more, and you will concentrate on the things in life that truly and sincerely will bring happiness, success, joy, and of course satisfaction to you, inshallah. Well, listeners, I hope all this information that I shared with you will be of benefit to you. Unfortunately, it's time for me to take my leave. Please remember us in your duas, and I see the news team is ready with the news, inshallah. That's it then for me. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.